It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Football Friday on WGR. Bulldog, it is Friday. I'm good now. Yesterday was
weird.
Yesterday was a challenge for me. Yes. But I know I'm down.
It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Heard the update there. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline. We were just talking earlier, Sal, with Sam Paniatovich about what to do from a betting standpoint with this game. And I said, if they do start Drake May, New England, this coach he's not going to care about the draft pick. It's not the most important year ever, it seems, to have the number one pick. I would take that as a sign that New England, relative term, but wants this game. Like, why would May play if they weren't trying to make that point? I, however, think that he won't. I don't know about you, but Gonzalez ruled out other starters, and they're still calling May game time with this hand injury that, I don't know, maybe is real. What would your guess be on him?
I'm going to defer to what Alex Van Pelt said earlier this week, and he was kind of definitive on him starting. He basically, he's not the head coach, but, the way he talked, Drake May was playing. And, he absolutely is ready to play and start, and it seemed like that was the case, and they were leaning that way. Now, granted, things could change through the week, and as you guys have made the point, and with Sam, that, who knows? The ownership steps in and says, he's our future, don't let him get hurt. There's obviously different motives there.
Yep.
But I think the way it's been trending all week is that Drake May is going to play.
Yeah, I agree with the assertion that if he plays, I would get on the New England side of this game. But I've been skeptical all week about whether or not he would indeed play, because I feel like that call could come to a coach that's already maybe a little shaky. It depends on how, I just don't know if the Crafts want to, take that for a ride, so to speak, right? Like, just sort of mess with this guy to see how loyal he'll be if he pushes back. Maybe they want him to push back. They go to him and say, we'd like you to do this. Maybe they're testing him to see if he'll push back or not. And, I don't know. I feel like those are mind games. But to me, they're not completely out of the realm of possibility here, given where they're at.
Well, listen, the other way to look at it is, you have their starting center is ruled out, Christian Gonzalez is ruled out, Jabril Peppers is ruled out. Even if Drake May plays, obviously you don't want him to get injured, but they may feel that, even though we're going against Mitch Trubisky and this group, they're still not a very good team. And they still may wind up losing the game. So, they could kind of have the appearance of, we're going to put him out there, try to win the game, but we kind of know we're not going to anyway. I could also see a scenario where he starts, and then it's kind of communicated to Jerod Mayo of, look, at some point in this game, we'd like to get a little more evaluation on some other guys, so, we'll probably put some new linemen in, then you take Drake May out because of that. And I think you could also spin it and look at it that way. As far as the betting line is concerned, I don't know. I just think the Bills players who are playing in this game want to really go there and, put one on, basically. Like, you're talking about guys who might not normally get a shot. They want to put stuff on film, and this might be their one chance. And you can't, as McDermott has said, and I've told you guys, you can't sit everyone. So you have regular rostered players playing out there, even though they're backups, right? So I think that, to me, the Bills would be the side to play simply for that reason, which is, hey, these are guys that want to go win. I don't care. The Bills do not care, to me. I don't think they care whatsoever if the Patriots have the number one pick, the number five pick, and the number 15 pick.
Yeah.
I think the Bills care about these guys who are playing are going to win the game.
Yeah. One other little piece to fold into the quarterback question mark with New England is that they've got a guy on the bench there that is at least an intriguing prospect. Not that they need a quarterback. They've got their guy. They've got their answer in Drake May. But Milton is, I think, an interesting, huge rocket arm. Like, he came from Air Raid, right? Tennessee in college. So there's a lot of refinement that needs to happen there. But I don't know. Maybe someone there could figure out, we want to get him a half, and if nothing else, find out we've got a guy we might be able to count on to develop as a backup, or someone who eventually could become a piece that other teams could be interested in if he can play at all.
Absolutely agree. Like, this isn't just about the starters, right? I'm like, yeah, you want to get evaluations on your backups. That's a lot of what the Bills are going to do this weekend, guys, which is, hey, you know, these guys are part of our team, but, you know, this helps us understand what we have going into the offseason, you know, and going forward. I mean, I'll give you an example, Joe Andreessen, right? I mean, we all love Joe Andreessen's story, and every time he's played, he's looked really good. This will be a real good chance for him to show that he can seriously compete for the backup middle linebacker job next year at training camp and put this on film and let them know where they are at that spot. That's just one example, right? I mean, what are you looking at cornerback? Are we going to see Benford and Douglas? Probably not, I would guess. So what are we looking at? You're probably looking at Brandon Codrington getting snaps on the outside. That's a real good evaluation to see, do we need another guy? Is he good enough to have on the roster as our backup corner and a, you know, return man? And so if you're the Patriots, no doubt about it. They have a very, very long to-do list for their roster this offseason. They have a lot of cap space. I wouldn't be surprised if they want to see their backup quarterback a little bit to see if he is a backup for next year.
It will be interesting. I'll just close this topic by saying I think taking May out after starting him is the one thing they could do that would smell bad. Either don't play him, hand injury, you know, or just play him and we're here to win. But you take him out, I don't know, that would be weird for me. We'll see what they do. Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline. Well, let's talk about Mike White here and get into some of the Bill stuff. You have, I'm sure, thought about it at length. What did they do, and what is the significance of it?
Yeah, it's something I thought they might do after Sean gave me the answer on Wednesday. I asked him at his weekly press conference. I said, you know, do you anticipate, would you be calling Mike White up, or do you, are you able to do that? And he said, you know, it's going to be tough because of the numbers. They only get two practice squad elevations. And, you know, you're looking around the roster going, okay, well, if we're going to have guys who are banged up at safety and we want to kind of lay off them, we got to elevate someone there. We don't really want to have only 9 offensive linemen, probably. This is me thinking how they're thinking. You probably want 10. So you're going to have to elevate someone there. Where's the room for Mike White? So what's the answer there? Well, the answer was what we found out today. They actually signed Mike White to the active roster and released linebacker Nicholas Morrow. So now you don't have to elevate Mike White. Now he is your third quarterback. You have 3 quarterbacks on the active roster, and now you can still elevate 2 more people. What the significance is, so the way the rule works is you get a third emergency quarterback each week. However, that guy has to be on your active roster, although inactive on game day. When the inactives come out every week at 11:30 for a 1 o'clock game, you say, oh, there's the inactives. Well, if you have a third quarterback in your roster, he can be on that list, but he's able to play if something were to happen to the other two. Now, of course, we could all say, sit here and go, come on, if something happens to Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky, they're cooked anyway, right? But you don't know what happens at the end of a game if there's something going on where you got to finish a game and just get it through a couple of drives. So at least it's significant to have a guy that you know could take some snaps in that situation. And on top of that, they signed him to an extra 1-year deal.
Yeah.
So he's not just finishing out the season. He's actually going to be coming back to training camp as it stands right now as a person under contract.
Let me just squeeze you a little here on something happens to the other two. Allen's going to start this game. He'll be dressed, obviously, but we're not expecting him to get hurt. We're expecting him to come in and maybe play a series and then sit down and keep his consecutive games started streak intact. If Trubisky were to get hurt and Mike White is inactive, like you're describing here, and only can come in if something happens to the other two, is Josh Allen wanting to sit down because the playoffs start next week? Something happening?
No, so here's what I would say. Sorry if I confused everyone. He won't be inactive this week. He'll be active. I could almost guarantee you that.
Okay.
He won't be the third emergency guy. He'll be on the roster this week. They'll have 3 active quarterbacks this week.
You're talking about
like,
for
to
the
make
playoffs.
Sure that doesn't to your point, Bulldog, to make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because yes, you actually the way the rule is specifically written, yes, so you the other two quarterbacks have to not be able to return due to injury. Not because you're arresting somebody.
Right.
So if this were that situation, you'd have to put Josh back in, and you'd put somebody in. You couldn't
Ray
have
Davis.
Mike White come in. Right. But in the playoffs, yes, that could be happening. In this game, I would expect Mike White is active, Josh Allen. And by the way, so the transaction happened literally while McDermott was on the air with me on the Extra Point show. So it happened just as we were ending, and I said, oh, Sean, I just got the alert. You guys have signed Mike White, so is the plan to play him? And he confirmed. He said right there with me, he said, yeah, we're going to – Josh will obviously start and get whatever snaps. Mitch will come in. He said, and then we'd like to see Mike get some time a little bit at the end. Kind of whatever paraphrasing, he did say they'd like him to play a little bit.
Right. And just quickly, so we're not just buried in Mike White stuff, the significance of the contract for next year, is there like sort of a trade-off here?
I think so, Mike. It's probably one of those deals where, hey, we'd really like to do this, but – you know, a little bit of a reward for him. It's really no skin off their back. I do think there's one interesting point about this, which is at the end of the year, this does not allow him to sign a futures contract with another team. If the Bills go to him and say, hey, we want to sign a futures contract with you to come back here, and another team says, no, we want you, or sign a contract, I should say, with another team, he may feel, because all practice squad players generally, like when what happens at the end of the year is you go to them and say, hey, we want you back. So you sign what's called a future/reserve contract. So that guy just signs. He's still kind of inactive until the new league year starts, and then he's on your 90-man roster. Well, the guy doesn't have to do that. A player like Mike White could say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to sign with a team where I think I actually have a shot right now to go to that team and be part of their program and then fight for a job. Well, guess what? Now that's out of the equation. He's coming back to Buffalo.
Okay. The injury stuff, the injury report is fairly clean. Lots of names, but Bernard out, and then is it Samuel questionable, and then that's it. But it's still like a game where you're resting guys, and Allen will be active, as we've discussed. Who are the guys you think, just by whatever injury information you have, or like, all right, who are my most important guys that I cannot have get injured in this game? I've got that list in my head, too. I guess the question is really just, what do you think they'll do?
Yeah, you mean you're asking, like, as far as active and inactive with these guys, even though everybody's kind of, you know, available to play?
Right.
Or even guys who are going to be active because of numbers, but they hope they don't have to play them, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, listen, I also asked Sean today about the starting offensive line. I was actually a little surprised. He said he's not planning on playing the starting offensive line, even with Josh Allen out there, you know, for those snaps. I thought that would be the case. So I'm thinking you're probably just sitting your entire old line, and you're getting five new guys. Who's the fifth guy? Maybe Will Clapp gets called up, Richard Garage, someone like that, and then you have five offensive linemen. I mean, you could have, you know, Osiris Torrance play a little bit because he's a rookie, second-year guy, maybe something like that. But from that standpoint, and then you look at the numbers they have at wide receiver. Yeah, okay, so Curtis Samuel, maybe you rest him another week. We'll see. But what does that look like at wide receiver? You don't have a whole other bunch of options. Maybe they elevate K.J. Hamler. That's a guy you could think about for the 14th touchdown pass. Well, you got to put guys on the field, right? You got to have guys play. You got to put guys in the field. And then on the back end, guys, three safeties who are all – you know, banged up a little bit, but all are available to play. I do think they really would like to get DeMar Hamlin a little bit of time back on there. He has not played in a few weeks. Sean indicated that earlier this week about him. Cam Lewis, maybe the same thing there, playing with Taylor Rapp. Maybe just get those guys back to play with each other for a little bit to kind of get the chemistry back. So I think that's something that, you know, kind of has to be thought of here.
Yep. I like the corners sitting down in this game, Douglas and Benford both, which you alluded to earlier. Yeah,
you know what you could see, Bulldog? How about this? You get Codrington on one side,
right?
Elam on the other, and then Jamarcus Ingram as your nickel. I think that's probably what you're looking at here.
That works fine for me, like, because I feel like those guys are – you made the point already, right? The safeties have been in and out, so I might want to get a look at Hamlin a little bit. Rap, I might want to put in bubble wrap. You know, he's been nursing some stuff. Sorry, I didn't really mean that. It just came out that way. So, you know, that's probably that. And then, like, defensive line-wise, they've got enough guys that they cannot, you know, worry about having to play, like, the kingpins too much at all.
Yeah, that's right. So they have nine. So the way the active roster looks right now, they have nine offensive linemen. Let's say you're sitting from left to right, Deion Dawkins, David Edwards, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, and Spencer Brown. I mean, when those guys, even if you're not sitting them to start, when they come off, you only have four left. That's Alec Anderson, Tylon Grable, Ryan Vannemark, and Cedric Van Pran Granger. Okay, I can easily do it. Cedric Van Pran Granger plays center. Vannemark and Grable are your tackles. Alec Anderson is one guard. Okay, so to me, you're bringing Will Clapp up. That's your other guard right there. Right. You could do Mike Edwards, the all lineman, not the safety they got rid of, obviously. He'd be your other guy. So I think that's where the whole Mike White signed to the active roster spot comes into play here, which is you just might need two guys to be able to be elevated here. You could, if they really want to, how about elevating Daquan Hardy? If you're going to put, I'll give you a thought that I have. If you're going to have Brandon Codrington play defense, maybe you want to see Daquan Hardy return some punts, right? And then you have an extra DB there too. So I just think there are different things they could do here.
Close to a 90% chance, somewhere between 80 and 90% chance, I guess, that come Monday will be fully invested in the Denver Broncos. If Denver beats Kansas City, they're the 7, and that's the first round game. We've talked about it some. Do you care about last year's Bills-Broncos game for this one, or will you, if that's the matchup? That was Russell Wilson. That was the end of Ken Dorsey, right? Like, they weren't even to Joe Brady as coordinator yet. That's the last team to beat the Bills here in the regular season is that Broncos game, regular season again. Is that game going to be relevant, do you predict, in your sort of expectations for a playoff meeting?
It is to me a little bit because of the coaching staff. The Broncos have the same head coach, I think the same group of coaches, but Sean Payton. And the only thing that's really... it's way different, obviously, is Russell Wilson versus Bo Nix, right? But I do think that Sean McDermott would look at them and say, okay, this is what they did when they came here last year. They're probably going to have a lot of similar things they want to do in this particular game. And I think the same way, Sean Payton probably has some sort of, game plan of, okay, well, this is what the Bills did against my team last year and how they defended my offense. So I do think that those things will come into play. McDermott did say on Wednesday, not that it's unique, obviously, I'm sure every team does this, but he did confirm that, they do have advanced scouts that are projecting and doing the work already on Denver, on Cincy, and on Miami, that they'll be ready to go no matter who they play. But, it's not like it's going to sneak up on them. And I'm sure some of that has to be what was this year, what they look like, what they've done, and obviously because of a rookie quarterback. And I'm sure some of that was how they played them last year and some of the tendencies.
It was a very modest day offensively, well, at least for the passing game. They ran for almost 200 yards as a team, and that was hardly any Allen, only 13 yards. I've opened up the box from that game. Latavius Murray, remember him? Poor one out for him, 9 for 68.
Yes.
Cook had 12 for 109. Allen, though, only 15 of 26 for 177, a couple of picks.
There are three things I remember about that game in reverse order. The end. Having an extra guy on the field when they miss a field goal means your offensive coordinator gets fired. I remember the end. I remember the Sutton touchdown catch, which was ridiculous. Russell Wilson, what? How was that even?
Right in front of me, man.
Was it? Okay.
Allen
and Shakir in the playoffs against the Chiefs was sort of like that, where it's like, how is that even possible? And the Bills taking the ball to start the game and fumbling on the first play. Those are the three things I remember about that game.
Yeah, I remember all that too. Here's what I remember about that game. Marvin Mims, I think that's a big key in this game. If the Bills do play the Broncos, you're going to hear me talk a lot about Marvin Mims next week, guys. He's an all-pro returner. He's a return man, and the Bills have been hurt by returns this year. They've been hurt by kickoff returns. Their special teams have not been super buttoned up. I think that's if I'm a Denver Broncos coach, I'm going right to, we are finding an advantage on special teams in this game. That's going to be something that we can use to our advantage. And I think that becomes a story next week.
He should even be wide receiver 2 for that team. Like, he's so fast.
When I think about them as an opponent, I think they're doing a disservice to themselves if they don't try at least a couple of deep shots to him in this game. You hit on one of those, it could change the whole game.
How about the fact that they have close to 60 sacks already? Like, this team gets after the quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the numbers yesterday with them. Now, they have not been as efficient the last few weeks, but they have some numbers on defense. They get after the quarterback real good. So, yeah, I think if that's the matchup, I think it's next week, my thought will be, just don't hurt yourself if you're the Bills. I don't think their offense is good enough to really keep pace as long as you don't give them extra opportunities. Whereas the total opposite would be the case if you play the Cincinnati Bengals, right? Which is, you better score because they're going to score some points and you have a chance to score against that particular defense.
Yeah, the Bengals tomorrow night is really interesting. If they win, then it's edge of our seats Sunday during the post-game show. What happens with those two games, Denver and Miami? I've come to a point where I think Miami and Denver are about the same in terms of, like, the the quality of the opponent in those cases.
The question will be whether Tua, I mean, he said today he will absolutely play if they make the playoffs, but we'll see. I mean, the doctors are talking about, and even Mike McDaniel today is talking about, it's not a thing that needs surgery, but it needs to be rested because he can't keep aggravating and trying to play through it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe another week makes all the difference there, and maybe the player pushes and they get out of his way. But that'll certainly be if they end up in that spot, that'll be the top thing to watch, you know, during the week next week.
They just seem to me like a team that if they could maybe just sort of pass on the playoff invite. That's what the Steelers were last year to me. Like, do they even really want to be there? Backup quarterback, third string, whatever they were at with Rudolph and... All right, I guess we'll go.
How interesting are the Steelers, too, right? They're an interesting spot, right? I mean, like, we talked to Mike earlier this week, I think before Bulldog was back, about you said you think Tomlin would want to play the Ravens.
I do.
This is who he is in his DNA, right? And I'm like, no, I think he wants to play the Texans. I'll tell you what, though. I texted our buddy Jeremy Kahn over in our Odyssey sister station in Baltimore. I said, Jeremy, who would Ravens fans rather play? Would they rather play the Steelers or the Chargers? Do you want to guess what he said to me?
Chargers.
Yeah, although I don't know, from the outside looking in, wouldn't you rather play the Steelers? But, you know, he gave the answer, which I agree with, which is, you know what? Division game,
there's
man.
There's familiarity, their little boogeyman thing there. I'm a little bit the same way about Miami, even though all the Bills do is kick sand in Miami's face. I feel like they were good here last time, and it's a division thing, and eventually they're going to get you. You know, like, we'll be talking, the Bills could continue to dominate the thing for another 5 years, but there's always going to be a couple in there, and, like, you know, one of them is going to happen at some point, so I don't know. I don't want to keep kicking that beehive.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I'm Baltimore. I don't want any part of Pittsburgh. Can I just not have to do that, please? Sal, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Friday night, and we will talk next week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right. There's Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
References to the Bills' injury list, the Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by... The Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. We have open lines planned until picks at 6 o'clock Eastern. That's a long time. And I figure many of you want to give us picks advice.
Oh, sure.
That's probably what you want to do. There's no fantasy lineups to set if you're sane. We're not doing that this week. It's time for a break here. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Our starting O-line, they're going to be dressed, most of them, but they will not be out there, ideally. It'll be a lot of those guys who've been busting their butts as backups all year long, and so we're going to give them an opportunity to perform and see what they can do.
The question that's been on the table for weeks with the Bills is what to do about meaningless games. Turns out this year there would be one. And it's this Sunday. Bills at Patriots, 1 o'clock kick here on WGR, your home of the Bills. The Bills have never scored as many touchdowns in a season as they have this year. 63.
All right.
That should go up by a couple on Sunday.
Maybe.
I totally get why the players are seemingly into it. The 14th guy to catch a touchdown pass, is that interesting? Isn't this a little bit like that Ravens one where we made fun of them for caring about how many games in a row they rushed for a certain, whatever that was? It was in Denver.
Yeah.
And they did a thing at the end of the game a few years ago to earn themselves this, quote, record. Who ever knew the record for most people catching touchdown passes?
Like, what? No, I don't. I don't really care at all about it, but I get that the players do. That was the thing about the Harbaugh. It wasn't just that they did it. It was like he was mad about something that happened that got in the way of it or something, and it turned out the reason he was mad was because, like, we were trying to do this thing or something. It seemed like his beef, what to have a beef about something like that. Like, if the Bills try to get I don't know who Jalen Virgil or something. Is he even still on the active roster? If they try to get a 14th guy a touchdown pass and don't get it, and McDermott, like, I can't believe the Patriots wouldn't let, or something like that. That would be embarrassing and stupid.
I agree.
And I feel like whatever Baltimore's thing was with that was more like that than
the coach was offended, and you would not expect McDermott to be like publicly offended.
Right. So, I totally get, like, the guys on Baltimore wanting to keep that streak intact. And, yeah, I've been thinking about this for years. We talked about it earlier in the year because there was a game where they targeted Tywan Jones or someone in the end zone. Or no, it wasn't him. Somebody told me, and I forgot again. I'm so sorry. I should be better at this.
No, it was that was the guy.
Like, that was the guy?
They had the Kumerow touchdown in Denver.
Right.
And the next week, I think it was Tywan. They tried to get one more.
Yeah.
Because there was one more game that year.
Right. So either way, like, I was into that. Like, I thought it was kind of cool. And, you know, am I feverish about it? No. I did like the idea of trying to find a guy. If you can find a guy, maybe find the longest odds you can find on whatever betting app you use. I'm a FanDuel guy. I've not looked at this yet. I should have, because we talked about it with Sam an hour ago now.
I did.
Okay, who's the longest?
Nobody's listed at all.
No one's listed at all?
No, not yet. I think you have to wait until Saturday for those, but nobody's listed. Week 18, buddy. Like, just nobody knows anything.
Right.
Who's going to score a touchdown for Kansas City this week? Here's who's out, or doubtful, which is out. Mahomes, Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. So I guess Samaje Perine revenge game here against the Broncos. Jalen Watson is that Justin Watson. Justin Watson's the receiver. That's not him. Hardman is out. Trent McDuffie, corner, Chris Jones, Nick Bolton, like a bunch of their defense. Kelsey is out. Reed, Tranquil, six defensive starters at least here. Juwan Taylor up front. They're all just going
to
skip this one.
Well, you ain't kidding. I just went to it on my FanDuel app, and the game page usually has 100 things you got to scroll through to pick through different prop bets and whatnot. There's the Bills and Patriots with the spread and the money line and the total, and below it, there's correct score is the only thing up. And then there's the same game parlay department. That's empty. Scoring is like pick the exact score.
Oh, 13-10.
That's it. There's nothing there. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's it. 13-10.
All right.
Let's get through it.
Yeah.
One team is trying to survive injuries. The other wants the one overall pick. What's to even talk about? Like, will there be a pass in this game? Might be a good bet. Under one pass.
Well, organizationally, New England should want the number one pick, and probably somewhere inside there they do. But our Gerard Mayo and Drake May and whoever the receivers are going to be, if he's playing, then they're going. To me, yes, there will be passes thrown in this game. I don't know who will be defending them for the Bills. Probably not a lot of guys that you're real familiar with, but I would think the Patriots are going if he's playing.
I think he won't, but what do I know?
I still think there is a chance he won't. Like I've said all week, that I think something from upstairs could mess with Mayo on this. The coach Mayo, not the player May. Sorry, got to make sure I keep making that distinction. That's all the reason you need for Mayo to get out of there. By the way, I don't need May.
It's too confusing.
Yeah, I don't need that. I don't need to be doing this for 10 years.
I said the other day, what if Josh Allen's name were actually McDermott, but like MAC. And every time we talked about McDermott or Allen, Allen was McDermott. They both had the same name, and every time we'd have to say it'd be so annoying. May and Mayo at least is different.
Or you know what works here? It's more like May and Mayo if his name was McDermid, like with a, M-I-N-D on the end.
Anything.
Instead of like just, but it's
a little different,
very similar, and you'd be like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it would be a problem.
I can't stand for this. He's got to get out of there.
Is Mike? In other news, the Jets interviewed Mike Vrabel. Is Mike Vrabel too good for the Jets?
Yes. Yes.
So he takes the interview because it's good form?
I think so.
And they'd probably make a big offer. He would just not take it?
I hope so.
You hope so?
I feel like he's a real it's a defensive guy, it's not an offensive guy, and like we've talked around this for years because of McDermott and other guys. I don't think it's ideal, but I feel like he's...
He could overcome the dysfunction of the Jets?
I think so. Yes, I think so. I'd be worried about him going there, is how I would put it. Like, I would much prefer that he don't take that job. I don't need him in the division. I think he made a lot out of Tennessee when there wasn't, you know, the quarterback was never great, and they found their way to winning games. Like, I don't know. I read a long-form piece on him today with a writer who spent time with him this season while he was serving as a consultant to the Browns. And, you know, some of the stuff in there that he's citing that Vrabel, like, would talk about as, like, basically the pillars of his philosophy is, like, you know, this many run attempts in a game and stuff like that. That's a little antiquated, or maybe a lot antiquated. So I don't know about that. But he, in this piece, Vrabel talks about being around the Browns, a very forward-thinking organization, analytically anyway, and just sort of trying to be a sponge for that kind of stuff. I think the guy can coach football. Like, he's like a Dan Campbell type guy to me, that if he gets in the room, I think he's going to get the best out of everybody. I don't know what your offense is exactly going to look like, and you might end up churning out coordinators if you ever find a quarterback. I mean, the Jets have got a lot of heavy lifting to do, but I feel like Vrabel could make them decent faster than almost anyone else that's available.
Well, there should be several vacancies. New Orleans is going to have one, probably. The Jets have one. Chicago has one already. And then who else? Maybe New England. Probably not Tennessee, but possibly. Maybe Jacksonville. That's almost surprising that it hasn't happened yet. Maybe the Raiders. Maybe the Giants. Seven. And who knows? Maybe one more. Maybe like an Indianapolis happens or something like that. Or Dallas. But he should have options, is all.
Yeah, I think so. And I hope he does, and I hope he takes one of them that isn't the Jets.
You hate this guy, I think, right? You've hated him, Vrabel. You wanted to punch him at one point.
I can't stand him, but I think he's really...
That's why you don't like him.
Part of not liking someone in a role like that is because they're good at it.
It's been a while since we've tapped into your coach hatred. Mayo, come on, like, let's hear it. You probably want him to keep his job. Mike Giardi, who comes on our show a lot, says he thinks the right thing to do would be to fire everybody. GM, coach, everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, Sal mentioned Van Pelt talking up, like, May possibly playing this game, which I respect that. I think he's done, though. I don't know if he's even in the room on these conversations. I could be wrong. But to me, like, he's not going to make that call.
Yep.
He could have heard somebody else tell him what they're going to do, which is probably what that was. But I don't know. He's been a lot of places already, Van Pelt.
I mostly agree with Giardi. I think if they should fire everybody and hire Mike Vrabel.
Well, weren't they chanting his name last week in the crowd when they played L.A.?
Yes.
Ben, that's pretty good to be Mike Vrabel. And
yes.
Like, never do that much, but now everybody wants you.
This is why you don't, you know, if you can afford it, and these NFL coaches, I think, can probably get by when they're being paid to not work and even doing consulting work on the side. If you can take the year off, take the year off.
Because, I love a year off.
Like, you know, he runs through it in this story I read. The Chargers, if they weren't so attached to the Harbaugh idea, he thought he had a good look at that. There wasn't a lot of elaborating on the point, but he never felt like he had a shot at the Atlanta job. I guess he interviewed for it, but didn't feel like that was realistic. Didn't want to go to Carolina. And I don't know what other options last year there were, but you don't have to just take a job to take a job. You can hang out and wait and see how the landscape changes.
I've never learned that.
And, you know, well, yeah, I mean, me either. I can't afford to take a year off. But, you know, it's a nice place to be now because he's a hot commodity and should have his pick, I think.
803-0550, Football Friday. We're talking a lot about Sunday. Probably most fans are thinking more about a week from Sunday or the playoffs in general. And we will definitely spend more time on possible matchups and different ways the brackets could fall depending on what happens this week in both conferences. If you have a thought, put some schedule ideas out, who to rest, who not to rest, MVP, still a thing. That's our last call on that, I guess, with each of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and I suppose Joe Burrow having one game left to play. Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, Football Friday on WGR. Bulldog wanted Bills Patriots projections for perhaps for betting purposes. And there aren't any that are sort of available yet. So I'm working on my own.
Okay.
So if you ever get if it ever becomes live, you can compare mine versus
FanDuel. Please, please send me a screen grab. Because I love to wager on absolutely meaningless football that you can't have really much of an idea what's going to happen. Not that you can anyways, but at least you know who the dudes are.
My first prediction or projection would be that Allen does not throw a pass. I think it's three handoffs.
Me too. Or, you know, five or six if they get a drive going. You know, I can see him playing the whole possession, but as soon as they don't get a first down handing the ball off, then his day's done.
One pass at the most? Nothing that would affect the MVP conversation?
No.
What is this? 0-for-1? The little tweak in the stats? The QBR? Plummets? No, we're not doing any of that. Trubisky, I'm going 5-for-8, 39 yards. And he comes out at halftime. Mike White plays the second half. Maybe there's a little bit more juice with Mike White. More of a, let's see what you've got.
Sure.
We're halfway through this
game. Sure, because they might have a mind to want to make sure they kind of protect Trubisky too. Right? I mean I know the whole thing is derailed if something happens to Allen, but you know, he's their backup quarterback and he's that for a reason. So yeah, I think you play, this is like the fourth preseason game. You play the guy you just signed the most. That's the dude. The other people are to be protected to various degrees.
Yeah, like some of those preseason games, you signed somebody like on Monday and he started.
I had a run where I was off just at the right time in the summer that for like 3 years in a row, this was Matt Sims was one of these guys. Mm. I'm trying to think of the others. Guys who were signed on like the, I'm on vacation Monday, you know, Monday through Friday. I miss a week of the show. On a Monday, they sign a guy. He plays in the game Friday. And by the time I come back to work on Monday, he's not on the team.
He's gone.
I missed the entire era of certain guys who played those fourth preseason games.
Trubisky throws a touchdown to Gilliam, though. I'm putting that down. Gilliam is the guy.
That's
for the
guy.
14th.
That's the 14th guy.
He outranks all the other guys, yeah. Unless you include linemen. Which, like, I should be on this list before linemen. I'm a skill position player. I've been in the end zone before.
That's right.
I should be first. I should be the one, not tackles.
Gilliam doesn't have... Oh, Quentin Morris has one this year, right?
Quentin Morris has one this year.
Okay.
Gilliam. 2-for-5 and a touch.
That's a first and goal, you know, just... He leaks out and hopefully he's all alone. He looks like he's blocking. Maybe he even falls down. Like, go to the ground and get up and then just drift out there, and there's your Reggie Gilliam.
That's it.
Yep.
And you like Frank Gore here, right? As a call-up? We didn't get into him today.
I did earlier in the week, but Sal, like, I don't know what was... In my head, I guess I thought they had a lot more flexibility with the numbers there. I mean, I know I pay attention every week, and they don't elevate people every week, but when they do, it's not more than two, because that's all you're allowed. I think it makes sense that they'll need guys at other spots there. So, you know, maybe it's Ray Davis time in this game. Or whichever guy they value the least, which is an awful way to put it. But, right, like Ty Johnson is on the field more, has been on the field more, has mattered in the passing game more. So if...
That's interesting.
If one of the guys that has been active all year has to carry the load, then it's Ray Davis, I think.
I wonder. You're right. Johnson has played more of a primary role down the field plays this year for the Bills. Three touchdown catches himself. Davis has two. Not that far different.
Yeah.
But I still like Davis more as a compliment in a playoff setting to Cook than Johnson. But nothing against Johnson. So for me, that'd be pretty even. It certainly wouldn't be just all Davis because Johnson is the veteran and he's made these other plays. For me, that would be close to a split. Week 18 projections, 803-0550. The playoffs are next. Can't wait. What do you think here? We've got just a couple of more days until we know. Do you want Denver? Does anybody want Cincinnati? Are we sort of, we're not really going to be nervous about Cincinnati tomorrow, are we? Are we going to be sitting watching Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, like biting our nails or anything like, come on, let's not go that far. Maybe we are?
I mean, the sooner they can be dead, the better. So, I don't know about biting my nails, but I'm going to sit down to watch this game, and I'm going to be hoping, well, really, what do I need? I need Baltimore to lose for Pittsburgh to have a stake. Right? Like they can't win the division if Baltimore wins.
Right.
And that game is first.
That's right.
They're going to know. So if that goes the way it should go, then I don't know what I might get out of Pittsburgh. Right? That's where the, you know, who they might even prefer to play comes into it, right? Because they can still move around. I just don't know. I'll want Pittsburgh to win no matter what, but it gets pretty hard to see it happening if Baltimore wins that early game like they should.
And that's a debate, too, because Pittsburgh has a seeding stake if they right. were to want it between 5 and 6. Lines are open for your calls. The Dunn Tire Drive at 5. Maybe with you joining us is next. Lines open at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Football Friday on WGR.